from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to Verve Online. Verve is church for people who don't like church, coming at you from the heart of Las Vegas. Verve is an unconditional place where you can make great friends and get to know a great God who loves you with unconditional love. I'm Vince Antonucci. I'm the lead pastor of Verve. I am excited you're here. And if you haven't yet, say hi in the comments. Let us know that you're here, where you're watching from. Have you ever dealt with a shady salesman? Someone who deceived you into getting something that wasn't exactly what was promised? Last year, my daughter got in a car accident. Fortunately, she was okay, and our insurance gave us a good amount for her totaled car. So we started car shopping, and we have learned over the years. We shop online first. We know what kind of car we want, what price is right. We search, we find the right car for the right price before we ever go in. We know this is what we want. This is good. This is the right thing. So we did that with a car for my daughter, found the car. My wife and daughter go in to buy it. I didn't go. You got this. They come home with the car, but they're upset. Not with the salesman, surprise, but with the guy who did the financing. They tell me it didn't feel good. Like he left a really bad impression. There was something weird, something wrong about it. So my wife looks into the extended warranty policy he sold them, and she realizes it's not right. He told them they were buying one thing, but really it was two things. He told them they had 30 days to cancel it, but that was actually only for one of the two things. The other one, they could never cancel. It was a total deception. So they go back in to straighten things out. They have a horrible experience. The guy will not listen. He will not give them a refund. He will not cancel. And so then I go in and with my wife, and I had a horrible experience, and it wasn't going well with this guy. So the only way we did end up getting our money back was by me bringing the owner in. And I'm all like, I went to law school, buddy. I know my rights. And he's like, I don't care if you're a lawyer. And I'm like, I'm not a lawyer, but I did go to law school, and I got the phone number for the Better Business Bureau, and I'm going to call him. And he's like, you think just because you're a lawyer? And I'm like, I'm not a... You know what? Just keep believing I'm a lawyer. It seems to be working. Anyway, what's crazy is we wanted what they were selling. We did the research. They had the car we wanted. We just didn't like them. If you ask me today, I tell you, buy the car we bought. Buy it for the price we bought it. Just don't buy it from them. And you've probably had a similar experience like that, where you were interested in the product that was being sold, but the people selling it turned you off to it. It might have been with a used car salesman. It might have been at a restaurant or a hardware store or a mechanic or an attorney. And that's the power of people, right? They can either turn us off or they can turn us on. Not turn us on, like, you know what I mean. And all of this means that Christianity has a huge challenge, because there are a lot of Christians out there, and some of them are turning people off, and as a result, turning people away from Jesus. And it sucks, because those people would be interested in Jesus if they just knew him. Even more than just interested, I would tell you, if you knew Jesus, you would want him. And maybe that's you. You are interested in Jesus. But it's like I once heard a person say, people are interested in Jesus, but they don't like his friends all that much. Today we are continuing our series, Christianity for People Who Aren't Christians. We're trying to really understand the Christian faith and deal with some of the most common objections to it. And this may be the number one thing that turns people away from the Christian faith. People who claim to follow Jesus and maybe are outspoken about their faith, but come across as judgmental, hypocritical, and intolerant. Judgmental, hypocritical, intolerant. I want to spend some time talking about each of those. Because if you've been turned off by a Christian who acts that way, I would tell you the same thing I would tell you about buying a car after our experience. I would say, buy it, just look for a different place to do it. So, let's start with judgmental. Judgmental, like, that's judgmental. And we all know the judgmental type, people who think they're better than everyone else and act morally superior and find fault in everyone. They lack compassion or grace for other people. It is awful being around a person like that. And if you've ever met someone like that and they say that they're a follower of Jesus, it is a terrible and confusing experience because Christians are supposed to be grace people. In fact, grace is what separates Christianity from every other belief system. Grace means that you give someone the opposite of what they deserve. You give them love, even if maybe they don't really deserve love. Just like God gave us love when we didn't deserve love. Grace means giving love and forgiveness and patience and mercy. And Christians are grace people. And that is why it is so confusing to meet someone who says they follow Jesus, but is not a grace person. How can that be? Well, the sad but simple answer is some Jesus people are not being very Jesus-y. I made that word up, I think. They're not being very Jesus-y. And I guess maybe some people say they follow Jesus, but don't really. I don't know. But I do know that Jesus went out of his way to warn his followers not to judge. So here is an example from his most famous teaching called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, do not judge others. Pretty simple, right? There it is. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Jesus tells his followers, do not judge, period. Judging is God's job, not ours. So when we judge others, we are putting ourselves in God's place. But as Christians, that's literally the opposite of what we've decided. Christians are people who have decided to let God be God in their lives. And he can judge, but we can't. Maybe you've never thought about this before, but do you realize who every single church is made up of? A bunch of moral mess-ups. In fact, the way you get in with church is by admitting that you're a sinner who needs a savior. A church is a bunch of people who are struggling in this together. In every church, there are people who are struggling with the sins of pride, greed, pornography, lying, stealing, adultery, lack of love toward others. And that's probably just scratching the surface. And to be clear, I'm struggling just like everyone else is. We're struggling, but cool thing, together we're learning to walk with Jesus and in his power to overcome the sin in our lives because we know it's not God's best for us and we want God's best for us. We are struggling sinners, so we can't judge. And if we're really following Jesus, we don't judge. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't help each other. Like, I had a pastor friend of mine visit our church several years ago, and I asked him, hey, what'd you think? And he asked, do you want the truth? I said, yeah, of course. He said, I think you need to lose 20 pounds. We need you around as long as possible. And you would feel better, you'd be happier, you need to lose 20 pounds, and I would love to help you. Was he judging me? No. He wasn't saying he was better than me. He wasn't telling me I was bad. He wasn't judging me. He was loving me. We can see things in each other's lives. And if we have a relationship with that person, if they trust us, well, that kind of gives us permission to, in love, try to help them towards God's best for them. But we don't judge. That's different. Judging comes from a place of superiority, which is ridiculous when you're a sinner. Judging feels like condemning. Judging doesn't offer help. Followers of Jesus don't do that. And if you've ever met someone who claims to follow Jesus and was judgmental, I am so sorry. Maybe you've seen people who say they're Christians but judge and condemn politicians who are on the other side, or people who don't agree with their politics. We've seen a lot of that this last year or years. Listen, people who are following Jesus don't do that. That's what Jesus said. And if you've seen it, I am so sorry. And I would say this, what Christianity has is what you want. It's good. It's the right thing. Buy it. But if the person selling it is judgmental, look for a different place to do it. Another big issue in Christians that keeps people away from Christianity is hypocrisy. When I left law school and decided to work in the church, one of my heroes was a pastor who was leading one of the largest churches in the country. He helped create kind of a new approach to helping people find Jesus. He inspired thousands of church leaders, including me, to rethink ways we could do church. And I listened to his messages, I read his books, I attended conferences where he spoke. I looked up to him. And then a few years ago, it came out that he was abusing his power, which included sexual misconduct towards female staff. When I found out, man, I felt betrayed and disillusioned. I started to question some things, but I didn't abandon my faith. And here's why. Because just like judgmentalism, hypocrisy doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. Jesus wasn't the one being a hypocrite, so why would I reject Jesus because of what some guy is doing? Not only was Jesus not a hypocrite, he actually went on the war path against hypocrisy. In fact, he kind of coined the term hypocrite. So here's something you've probably seen before, right? These are masks that are associated with the theater. By the way, they're not COVID approved. If you get one of those and wear it into the store, you're probably not going to, it's not a good mask for COVID. They're theater masks, and they were known as comedy and tragedy in the ancient world, like when Jesus lived. Back then, they actually wore masks as different actors would play different parts in the same plays. They would put the mask on and speak from behind the mask. In fact, the word back then that they used for actors literally meant behind the mask. And that word, their word for actors, was hypocrite. The actors, the people on stage, the people wearing those masks were called hypocrites. And Jesus was actually the first person to take the word hypocrite and use it outside of the theater context. He talked about, and he talked to the religious leaders of his time who acted one way in front of people and then a different way when not, and he called those religious leaders hypocrites. He called them actors. He called them people who wore masks. He said of them in Matthew 23, verse 5, he said, everything they do is for show. He's saying, man, what you see in them, it's not real. It's just an act. He said to them in Matthew 23, verse 25, he said, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self indulgence. He's saying, and you act like you have it all together, but what's inside is not what you show on the outside. It's not real. You're acting. You're hypocrites. And in this chapter, you could read on your own, Matthew 23, Jesus just gives example after example of their hypocrisy, and he calls them out. So, if you don't like hypocrisy, you would really like Jesus, because he didn't either. And it doesn't make sense to reject Jesus because of hypocrites, because Jesus rejected hypocrites. Maybe you have. Maybe you've rejected Christianity because of hypocrites. Or maybe you haven't become a Christian because you don't want to be a hypocrite. I've actually heard that. People will say to me, yeah, I don't want to become a Christian or say that I'm a Christian. Or they'll say, I don't want to be baptized. Why? Because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I get that sentiment, but it reveals a mistaken understanding of what it means to be a Christian. That person apparently thinks that being a Christ follower means being kind of perfect. So if I'm a Christian and I'm not perfect, I'd be a hypocrite. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. So I'm just not going to be a Christian, or I'm not going to call myself a Christian. No, listen. The opposite of hypocrisy is not perfection. The opposite of hypocrisy is authenticity. And so for you to be a Christian and not be a hypocrite, you wouldn't have to be perfect. No one's perfect. You just have to be authentic, honest, to not pretend you're perfect when you're not. The Christian life is not about perfection. It's about transformation, about God taking imperfect you and moving in you and moving you towards God's best for you. So, people can stay away from Christianity because of judgmentalism, hypocrisy, and one more, let's talk about intolerance. Being intolerant, not lactose intolerance.
Milk was a bad choice.
Intolerance is a big one for some of you. You think of Christians as being intolerant, of lacking acceptance. But when you study the life of Jesus and you see that he loved everyone, and in fact, that's what the intolerant religious hypocrites didn't like about Jesus. Now, look at Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. In fact, those religious leaders, hypocrites, that's what they called Jesus. They called him a friend of sinners. Do you want to know the best evidence that Jesus is a friend of sinners? He's a friend of mine. He accepted me despite my sin, and he accepts you despite your sin. And all of his followers are told in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. Christians are tolerant, accepting, and loving because Jesus is. We are tolerant, accepting, and loving. Now, if we're being totally honest, and we are, that's what this whole series is about, this gets tricky. Because people today want to make acceptance also mean affirmation. So I accept you, and I'm cool with whatever you decide to do. No, those are two different things. I can accept you and not be cool with every decision you make. You can accept me and not be cool with every decision I make. Today, tolerance is viewed as a cardinal virtue, and tolerance is good, but I think people struggle in defining and applying it. If you say, man, I am tolerant, which means I accept all other people and I think all people are equal. Yes, I agree that the Christian faith would agree. But if you say, I'm tolerant, which means I accept all ideas and decisions as equally true and right. Well, no, the Christian faith doesn't agree with that. And you know what? You don't either. You might think you do, but you don't. You are too loving to agree with that. You might say, no, I do. I think if it's right for you, it's right for you. We should accept people's choices. No, you don't believe that. So, let's say I have a friend who does not believe in God and who cheats on his wife. Well, I support his legal right to not believe in God, and I accept him as my friend. I love him, but I can disagree with his choice of cheating on his wife. How about this? I knew a guy years ago who I found out would invite his neighbors over to rape his wife, and he would watch. Do you agree with that? Of course not. But if you don't agree with that, isn't that being intolerant? Yes, it is. You disagree with his choice. The point is, I accept all people. I believe all people are equal. I don't believe all ideas and decisions are equally good, right, and true. I believe there is right and wrong. I believe there is good and bad. I think we all do. So we need to accept people, but I don't think anyone really believes that we should accept all ideas and decisions. We just like to think we do when it's convenient. But when we see something we know is wrong, we call it wrong. We want it to be called wrong. And this is true of lifestyle choices as well. We like to say we believe every lifestyle choice must be accepted as equally good and acceptable, but you don't believe that. I mean, there are people who are racist, that they hate other people because of the color of their skin, and they intentionally treat people bad, that they may even do horrible things to people just because of their race. You don't accept that lifestyle choice, right? I hope not. It's hard. It is, right? Because you want to love people, and it can feel like if I don't agree with all of your choices, maybe that's not very loving. But I think we know it is loving. If the reason I don't agree with your choice is because I know it's not best, if I know it's going to hurt you or hurt other people. And that's the thing. It all has to come from love. Love is the motivation and love is the goal. Jesus was once asked, hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What's most important? And his answer basically, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, it's loving God and loving people. He said, all of God's commandments hang on love God, love people. The intention of every law, every rule, every directive God has ever given you is to help you love God and love people. Love is the motivation and love is the goal. And if there's not love, it is a total miss. Check out what the Bible says about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I could understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So maybe you've met people who claim to follow Jesus. Okay, you can claim to follow Jesus. The question is your life all about love? Is your life all about loving God and loving people? If you meet someone who claims to follow Jesus, but their life isn't about love, they don't represent Jesus. And I would encourage you, focus on Jesus, not on people who misrepresent him. Because if you knew Jesus, you would be interested. You would want him. Focus on Jesus. In fact, next week, we're going to focus on Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus. Like, who was he really? Why do Christians believe in him? If you don't believe in him, should you? Why? For now, as we end today, we're going to give you a chance to start thinking about who he is, about how he accepts you, and he wants to be your friend despite your sin, despite my sin. And our band is going to lead us in a song about Jesus and about his love for us. And if you want, wherever you are today, you can sing along, or you could use this time to pray. You could use this time to think about where you're at with Jesus and maybe what's been holding you back and what might be a next step that you need to take. So I'm going to pray, and then the band's going to lead us. Let's pray. Oh God, there are so many things that can turn us off and hold us back from seeing Jesus and putting our faith in and following Jesus. And unfortunately, one of those things is people who claim to be Jesus followers. God, I pray that if there are people who are like, man, I don't want to be a Christian because I've seen some of them, that they would look past those people who misrepresent Jesus and see Jesus, because Jesus is the best. He's the most amazing thing we will ever see. And when we really see him for who he is, man, he's what we want. He's all we want. So help us to see Jesus. Help him to know how much he loves us and what he did for us. And we pray in his name. Amen.